Welcome to Career Tools. This is Sarah.
And I'm Mark.
Today's podcast, Got Email, part one of two.
This cast answers these questions. How do I manage my email? I've got too much email, help. And how do I save time doing email?
If you want answers to these questions and more, keep listening. Are you ready to level up your skills before the year ends? There are really only a few opportunities left in 2025 to attend Manager Tools in-person and virtual training. Don't wait. Gain actionable management, leadership, and communication skills before it's too late. Secure your spot now at manager-tools.com/training. Today we are recording a classic from the Career Tools archive, Got Email.
That's one of those rare ones where I tried to be creative with the title, sparking off the Got Milk ad campaign years ago. And part of it was because everybody's got email.
Yeah. It's a good one. And now that you say that, I think to myself, for searchability, we should maybe change the name.
Probably should.
I don't know. We'll think about it. For now, we're going to call it Got Email. First released in 2005, one of the very early podcasts. Yeah, one of the really, really early ones. And folks, back then, we knew managers, executives, people in organizations who got 200 or more emails a day. And that hasn't changed. I would suggest it's gotten probably worse.
Sure. Well, it's moderated a little bit in the last 10 years or so because of Slack and Teams.
That's true. That is really true. But nonetheless, email is a necessary evil in the corporate world, and highly effective professionals know how to get the most out of their email without letting it suck up a ton of their time. So in this podcast, we're going to talk about how to make technology work for you and how you can spend less time on email while getting more done.
Email is probably the most widely, definitely the most widely used professional communication tool out there, and also probably the most abused. It's one of the reasons email is in my head when I suggest that companies are going to start hiring people and they're not going to let them work for a couple of weeks and they're going to put them through a corporate training program. And one of the things they're going to teach them is email. It's an incredible tool. Now, for those of us who had a career before email, I think it's an incredible tool. Unfortunately, if you're not taught how to use it, if you don't know what you're doing with it, it's horrible. And there are too many people who use it because it's convenient and they focus on themselves and they forget that communication is what the listener does. And so they sit behind their desk and expect everybody to answer their emails and they can just sit there all day and fire off emails. When in fact, it's not a terribly persuasive medium. And then that's part of its abuse. And people have gotten irritated pretty significantly about email, so much so that I would argue young people are like, oh, email's old. Well, if your CEO is using email, if the EVPs and SVPs and VPs and senior directors and directors and managers are all using email, you better be good at email. It's just poorly done and there's too much of it, but there is a way to solve for that.
Yeah, absolutely. And folks, Mark has referred to this a couple of times, but so that our younger listeners are aware, yes, the world existed before email. It was true. There were people who worked in organizations exactly as you do today, but did so without email. And what it meant was people had a lot more face-to-face meetings.
Yeah.
And when you have face-to-face meetings, you develop relationships. And based on that relationship, there is some degree of trust. And when there's trust, you can understand, or at least try to understand, why somebody did something the way that they did it. And in turn, why that thing might be going horribly wrong at this current moment. But if your relationship, if you can really call it a relationship, exists only through email, it's bound to be one full of confusion, complexity, and misunderstanding.
And I would actually add to that and blame. I thought my email was completely clear and this person didn't answer it. Well, you have no trust with them. They don't want to agree to what you think is the truth. And now we have multiple emails going back and forth and annoyance and so on. Okay, so what's our outline? we really only have two major points, but there are many subpoints. And the first one is, you've got to use technology to increase your email efficiency through prioritization of your messages. I am still amazed. The vast majority of people that I talk to, Sarah, still have one inbox.
Yeah.
And everything comes in and they basically graze on email throughout the day. And the second thing is, you've got to change your behavior regarding email and decrease the amount of time you spend doing it. And Sarah mentioned 200 emails a day. For a while at Manager Tools, and actually before Manager Tools, I was getting 400 emails a day. And the benefit of this podcast, this guidance, is even if you get 400 emails a day, if you use our techniques behaviorally, you will be able to do all of your email in 3 30-minute sessions a day. And you will spend no time other than those 3 30-minute times doing email at all. You won't be distracted and constantly looking at email and so on.
You're absolutely right. Okay, so the way that we can do that is, let's think about point number one, using technology to increase your email efficiency by prioritizing your messages as kind of the groundwork that needs to exist in order for you to not, as Mark said, graze through your email all day, because you have this backing that is solid and supportive of your method.
Yep.
And folks, during this part of the cast, we're going to make some generic recommendations, which should be available on each and every email client that you're probably using. Email is so ubiquitous by now that all tools really share some core pieces of functionality, and the specific tool you use may have more bells and whistles, but surely not less bells and whistles.
Yeah. And in fact, I've noticed, and I think you have too, Sarah, that in the last few years, Microsoft, Apple, Slack, Teams, which is a Microsoft product, obviously, and Zoom and so on, they don't play as well together as they used to. And I know a lot of people who use Google's, if your company uses Gmail servers, as many do, of course, really, really big companies have their own email servers and they may have their own system for addressing it. But generally, Google is a provider of an awful lot. Google and Microsoft, certainly with Outlook and Teams and so on, provide all kinds of stuff. But I know plenty of people who have now gotten so frustrated with their client software, whether it's Apple Mail or anything else, that they do mail on the web.
The web interface.
They use the web interface. Right. Exactly.
Yeah, I've been using Gmail web interface, oh my gosh, for almost 15 years now.
Yeah, exactly. And I stuck with Apple Mail for a long, long time. We're a Macintosh shop or Apple shop here. And then it finally just gradually broke to the point where I couldn't trust it. And so I'm on the web as well with that interface. Now, look, we're not suggesting, when we talk about some of this functionality, we're not suggesting that you only use this. If you've got functionality, additional functionality that you can use in the theme of the efficiency and then the behavior points we made in the outline, just be careful. You should use them as much as you possibly can in the service of efficiency and wrangling your email into a more appropriate time slot, if you will. And so if it's in line with our guidance, use it, even if we don't mention your particular client or that a particular type of technical functionality.
Yeah. Okay, so the first one, and probably, to be perfectly honest, one of my favorites, is turn off all of your email alerts. And this is first and most important. Turn off all of the alerts. No sound, no icon, no dreaded little red bubble, nothing. No indicator of the fact that you have gotten an email as of late. Folks, to be clear, I know for many of you it doesn't feel this way, but not all messages require your immediate attention, causing urgency into what is, by definition, a non-urgent method of communication. It causes more problems for you than benefit.
Yeah, there's the old joke, and as a former military guy, I like the joke of the oxymoron of military intelligence. Or jumbo shrimp. The same thing goes for urgent email.
Yep.
It's just not done. We have multiple media available to us. Choose the media in part based on the urgency of your message. And email is the least urgent medium you can possibly have. Now, think of it this way. Imagine you're a consultant. You get paid $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 a day to coach managers and executives in major corporations. You're talking to somebody whose boss has engaged you to coach them to be a more effective leader. The company has decided this person is worth some additional investment. And this is actually from my background, but I was actually coaching someone on the fact that she's really distracted and her team doesn't feel connected with her at all. And that affects trust. And so that affects results in retention, the two watchwords of every manager. And in the course of sitting across her cube with her, she actually hears the email reminder. And as she's looking at you, she scoots her chair away, puts herself right up next to her monitor, go ahead, mouths to you the whole thing of, please continue talking while I multitask in your face, turns away from you, she checks her mail, she starts typing with her head kind of turned as if she's still listening, nodding her head. And I remember very clearly saying to her, I think one of the problems is that you're constantly distracted by email. I'm guessing if you do that to me, who your boss, I was hired by your boss to help you.
You're paying me to be here.
If you're going to do it to me, you're definitely going to do it to all your team members as well. And she, of course, responds, oh, no, I never do that. And then I went down to the various cubes and say, hey, has your boss ever done this? And every single one of them says, yes, it's one of the most irritating things that has ever happened to me. And I'll give you another example. I happened to did some consulting work for Microsoft when Outlook was being built. It was really cool. And I considered Outlook my operating system for years. I mean, I had Windows machines, Dell laptops. I worked for Dell, so I had to have a Dell laptop. And I didn't really think of Windows as my OS. I thought of Outlook as my OS because it had my calendar, it had my tasks, and it had my mail in it. But at Microsoft, with a later version, Microsoft invented they may not have admitted it, but they included as a feature in Mail, in Outlook, a thing that slides up typically from the bottom right-hand corner, in the bottom right-hand corner of your screen. It sort of slides up and tells you, hey, you have a new mail. And this is when your mail client, in this case, Outlook, is connected to the server and you told it in your settings, please get my mail like every minute, right? It's super important to me. And it slides up, and then it slides back down. Well, Microsoft has a nickname for that, and it's called Toast. Now, most people think it's called Toast because it's like toast popping out from the toaster. That's not why they call it Toast, because I was there. They call it Toast because if you have that setting, and your client is always talking to the server, and your mail is always being delivered, so it's literally fresh when it comes out of the toaster, when the toast pops up. The reason they call it Toast is because if you try to manage your life that way, you will be toast. It is an incredibly distracting. It might be important for some people, but for the vast majority of people who are listening to this cast, it's not. And you have to turn that off. You absolutely must turn off that kind of reminder. It is rude that it takes you away from something. It is unprofessional to be rude to people when you're in a discussion with them. And now with phones, right? When we started Manager Tools 20 years ago and this podcast came out, there weren't cell phones that were smartphones the way they are now. People's phones buzz every time they get a mail. And people get hundreds of mails a day and they're constantly being distracted. And the analogy I use is imagine you're a parent and you're talking to your child in the kitchen, and as he or she is talking to you, they reach into their pocket, pull out their phone and look at an Instagram video or look at a text or look at a Snapchat or look at a TikTok message or whatever it is, or a WhatsApp message, because they've got all those notifications turned on. I remember very clearly doing that with one of my children, and I just grabbed the phone out of their hands and they say, hey, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking back my phone. And they said, that's not your phone, it's my phone. And I'm like, no, this is my phone. I pay for this phone. So you've got to wean yourself off of the annoying habit, the bad habit, the addiction you have to constantly being in touch. You don't need to.
I mean, this is a Career Tools podcast. If you're listening to this, you might be junior enough in your career that you're only getting 30 emails a day. And you might think to yourself, yeah, but what's the harm? Right. The harm is, this is your gateway drug, folks.
Yeah.
If you're going to climb the ladder in the organization, if you're going to become a manager or a director or a senior director, and you get in the habit of constantly reading these emails as they come in, at some point your inbox is going to fill so quickly and so fully that you will just be a person sitting in front of an email inbox because that's all you'll have time for. Wean yourself off it now. Develop good habits before you find yourself in a senior leadership role having bad habits and having to untrain yourself.
And the people who are sitting at their desks are like, well, you know, it's fine. I'm able to do it and still do my work. No, every time you get distracted from your work, you're multitasking, basically. Actually, you're not multitasking. Your brain can only do one thing at a time. So it's task switching, serially task switching. You have to get back into context when you go back to that previous work, whatever you were doing. And I like to remind people that there are plenty of managers, senior managers, directors, VPs at your company who are traveling around all the time. And there's plenty of planes without Wi-Fi at various times. You and I were just on a flight. We didn't have Wi-Fi, so we didn't have email. And they are able to survive for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 hours. Heck, on many international flights for many years, once you leave land, you can't get email over the Pacific or the Atlantic for those of us in the US. So there's all kinds of times. I can't imagine when you're hugging your spouse coming home from work that you would reach into your pocket and pull out your phone.
Right.
Because you got an email, maybe a random corporate distribution list email that doesn't really matter. Or maybe you're coaching your kid in soccer. I can't believe you'd be reaching into your pocket and pulling out your phone. So there's already a hierarchy in people's minds, but the hierarchy goes away when they're at work and everybody says, oh, this is an email culture. If you really want a chance to focus your attention and get the best out of yourself, you've got to reduce the distractions, and that means email.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you ready to take your career to the next level? Whether you're stepping into your first professional role or aiming to sharpen your skills for continued growth, First Job Fundamentals equips you with the strategic insights to succeed from the outset. This in-depth podcast series goes beyond the basics, providing you with a roadmap for excelling in the professional world. Visit us today at manager-tools.com/First Job Fundamentals. That's all one word, First Job Fundamentals, to learn more today. Let's move then into subdividing your inbox. Now, folks, doesn't matter what email client you use, you can subdivide your inbox using rules or multiple inboxes or multiple folders or multiple labels. And all the email clients call them different things, these categorizations.
Right.
And for the purpose of explanation in this cast, we're going to just refer to them as folders, regardless of what your client is. It might call them labels like mine does, but we're just going to call them folders to make it easy.
If you are always working out of your core inbox, you're doing it wrong. Okay. That's like people being able to drop work on your desk all day and you don't know what's urgent and what's not. You don't know who it's from. You just got a big stack of work and you're starting at the top. Would you agree, sir? The majority of people that you know, even these are intelligent people, people who are mid to high levels in organizations, they still are going through their email inbox in chronological order, and even worse, in reverse chronological order based on the last time they got to it. So starting with the most current and working backwards. So you need to change the way your mail is presented to you. So you have some prioritization there, and that's where the inboxes or the folders come in. So you create one folder for your boss. If you do nothing else, you've got to create a folder for your boss. Another one probably for your peers. If you're a manager, another one for your team. And this is going to allow you, again, to prioritize what messages you look at. And you don't do them chronologically. And by the way, we mentioned boss first because that's the mail you should read first.
Yeah.
So read your boss's mail first, then read mails from your team if you're a manager. And other lower priority categories or folders might be vendors. It might be mass distribution lists. It might be subscriptions you have. If you get product announcements at your work email for companies that you like or so on, that can go in another folder as well. And if you're processing all this stuff together in one undifferentiated stream, you spend time on deleting an email from Walmart or from Domino's before you get to your boss's email. That's just absolutely crazy.
Absolutely. And folks, another way that you can make this delineation, I'm going to say between categorizations, is by creating folders separated based upon the urgency of the topic at hand. And these two ideas, based upon topic and based upon the person to whom you received it from, they're not mutually exclusive. You can nest folders. You can have a whole hierarchy system, but essentially have an email client that's set up as a separate folder to hold your urgent messages, regardless of the sender, right? Any urgent message, have a folder for that one so that it comes very first.
If they're stupid enough to think that emails should be urgent.
Yeah. And then we're going to say create another folder that contains CC'd messages. My experience suggests that most people didn't learn this lesson, but something that is true is when you're CC'd on an email, you're not the primary person the email is supposed to come to. You do not have an obligation to read those messages but once a day. So if you're CC'd, if you have all of those CCs into a single folder, you don't review that multiple times a day. You look at that folder's contents one time a day at the end of the day. And if you're worried, folks, if it's really important and you're CC'd on it, somebody's going to resend it in a couple of days when you don't respond. Or if they sent it first thing in the morning and it's 2 p.m. and you haven't responded and they thought you would have by now, someone's going to send you a Slack or they're going to call you and be like, hey, I thought you would have chimed in on this thing by now. You didn't. What's up? So it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, it's not.
It's really not.
Yeah. In fact, that point where somebody says, hey, did you get my email? Like, well, I did. Technically, I'm sure the server delivered it to my client, right? But yeah, I got it, but I didn't read it because I was in a 4-hour meeting and my boss and my boss's boss is in the meeting and I'm not going to be scrolling through. I hope nobody who's listening to this is stupid enough to be scrolling through their email in front of their boss, their boss's boss. Yeah. We also recommend creating a folder for any particular important project you're working on. Maybe you're on a project team that is upgrading some IT infrastructure. You might have a project called IT Upgrade. Tell people to include IT Upgrade in the subject line of their mails to you. You can also say, look for these words and put emails with those words into this particular folder. Then you know what that particular email is about. Now, if you have 5 projects that you're working on and the IT one, the IT infrastructure one, is less important than your marketing project, which has a bunch of deadlines tomorrow, you would read the marketing folder before you read the IT infrastructure one. And you also know to check, it's obvious, but you know to check a project folder more frequently as you come up upon work that's more important and deadlines that are hot and heavy in that particular project. And that also means that when that project goes away, you can delete that folder. You don't need to keep checking it and it's one less thing to worry about. One great thing about most email clients, if you get an email about the IT upgrade project and the IT upgrade folder is deleted, that email just still stays in your inbox. So it's not like it's going to go delete it for you just because you deleted that folder with the rule attached to it.
Yeah. Then next is don't use your inbox to manage tasks. Now, folks, email is how we communicate. It's a communication mechanism. Yes. That's all email is. Following up with somebody on something, on an item, is not communication. Following up with somebody on an item is work.
Yes.
Don't use your email as a reminder of work that remains to be done. Use a different mechanism for tracking the actions that you have to take. So, for example, following up with someone on this particular email, as opposed to just referring to your inbox as a constant to-do list.
Right.
Until it's done.
Speaking of to-dos and productivity, we highly recommend David Allen's Getting Things Done, where he recommends, even though you've got multiple inputs into your day, email and Slack and Teams and all these other things, it recommends a singular place where you capture your deliverables, tasks that need to be done. And we're going to talk about this more when we get to the second item, about doing email 3 times a day. You don't read the mail, find that there's a task in it, and then mark it as unread so you can go back and do the task in it. You make a note of that somewhere else in a deliverable tracker, in a task tracker, in a to-do list, which can be handwritten if you want. And actioning your email does not mean doing that task. It means capturing that task as a to-do. Now, you may think, well, wait, I've already got it in email. Why should I have to write it out? Because email is a form of communication, as Sarah said. And what we want to do is separate our work from our communication, even though the communication is really important and certainly related to work. Yeah. So David Allen, who is the author of Getting Things Done, would describe email as one of your inboxes. And what you do is process through your inbox. If your inbox causes you to have a task, that's okay, but that task is not the mail. So not all emails require you to do email. It might require you to go talk to Jane. It might require you to set up a meeting. Even if you use email to set up that meeting, the task is not to send an email. It's to set up the meeting. So don't use your inbox to manage your tasks. It's a bad mixing of two separate activities.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. All right. Next one on our list then is delete or archive messages. Now, folks, another thing that we all need to do a lot more of is use our junk mail folders. Sometimes deleting messages, managing the distribution lists that we're on. Like, for example, rather than sending a note saying, I want off this distribution list, it's a lot simpler to just have that mail redirect to the junk folder going forward, or just delete it. I mean, these things are much simpler than waiting for somebody else to do what you've asked them to do. Just have it redirect to junk.
And those things are always going to be coming in, and you'll delete a bunch of them, and you'll discover, wow, my email box inbox feels a little bit more manageable. And then over time, you'll subscribe some distros, or you'll be put on some distros, and you'll have to cut them back. It's a never-ending battle to cut back on communication, because those communications are demands for your attention. And your attention is what makes you productive, and you don't know where all those mails come from, so therefore, giving your attention to a demand that you have no context for is a very bad use of your very valuable, based on how much you're paid, I would guess, your very valuable attention and productivity. Another technique we recommend is what we call the 5-week folder. If there's nothing you need to do on something in your inbox, throw it in the 5-week folder. After 5 weeks, delete it. If then somebody later comes back in a couple of weeks and says, hey, I asked you about this, did you get it? Look for it in that 5-week folder. Putting a message in the 5-week folder is a subtle difference between actioning it and putting it in junk or your deleted folder.
Yeah, it's kind of like if you've moved houses and there's a box of stuff that's still in your house from when you moved 3 years ago, you can just throw it out.
Just throw it out. Marie Kondo, right?
Yeah.
It's clearly not giving you joy. It's in a box.
It's not giving you joy. That's exactly the same thing with this email. That email is not giving you joy.
In fact, the analogy of physical stuff around our homes is very similar to email. Everyone you talk to who says, I went through and cleaned up, I did some spring cleaning, and oh my gosh, I feel so much lighter right now. I got rid of all kinds of stuff. Please don't throw it away. Donate it. The landfills don't need your stuff, and there's somebody else who's not as well off as you who could benefit enormously from your clothes, from toys that your kids have outgrown, furniture, all that kind of stuff. Don't throw that stuff away. Same thing with email. When we tell people, go through and go delete stuff, get off of distribution lists, they're like, wow, it feels really good. I feel a little lighter. I have less demands on my attention and time and productivity.
Thanks, folks. Join us again next week as we continue this topic. Now help us, help others, and tell your friends. And of course, follow, rate, and review our podcast. And remember, 5 stars only, please.